Welcome to this Investec Specialist Bank podcast. The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.
Hi, I'm Linya Rosillo and I'm joined by Investec Chief Economist Annabel Bishop. Today we are discussing the rand, which has recently fallen to its lowest this year. Annabel, thank you for your time. Now, the rand moved to over 13 rand just last week, but a few months ago it was at around 11.50 to the dollar. What has happened?
Look, certainly I think we have a lot of volatility in our domestic currency. And obviously the rand being an emerging market, this volatility is being showcased at the moment by global moves. The big issue, of course, that we're experiencing internationally is that we're having strong foreign sell-off of emerging market assets in international markets. This is essentially what's known as a risk-off period, and it's occurring because there's being an expectation, some recalibration of expectations about United States interest rates. Essentially, what we have seen historically is that since the financial crisis of many years ago, remember 2008-2009 period, up until April this year, we've actually seen about $2.5 trillion flow into financial markets of emerging market economies, but specifically into bonds and equities. So these portfolio purchases have obviously driven substantial strength in those economies. And of course, now that the United States is looking to increase interest rates, and of course, obviously this will reduce the support for these EMs, we're seeing a generalized weakness in emerging market currency. South Africa is not alone. Indeed, India has also seen quite a substantial withdrawal of investment, foreign investment. And of course, now we're seeing the currency weaken quite dramatically, culminating with Friday's 13 rand 30 to the US dollar.
And so where is this all going?
Look, I think it's all very dependent on what happens in the United States. Interestingly now, tomorrow and the next day, so Tuesday and Wednesday this week, the Federal Reserve Bank will meet, its Monetary Policy Committee will meet and discuss the situation, decide on whether or not to hike interest rates again. The markets expect a 25 basis point hike. It'll be announced on Wednesday night this week. And then, of course, on Thursday, there'll be the market reaction coming through into our side here in South Africa, our financial markets reacting to what the FOMC statement said. Essentially looking at what's the likelihood of further interest rate hikes, but more importantly, how quickly will these hikes occur? And that's really what the market's going to be focused on. The tone, the hawkishness, how quick will this interest rate lift take place in the United States? And then because obviously we're having this interest rate lift in the United States, it's quite key for us to bear in mind that any changes, any suggested changes, even communicated change to the markets, make a decision on what they feel, believe, that changes market expectations. In turn, that changes the perception of risk on and risk off, and that in turn influences the currency. So very sensitive, but that's what we're sitting waiting for. You know, really, we'll get this meeting now, FOMC now, 6 weeks' time, they'll have another FOMC meeting. These run throughout the year. And at each period now, there's this heightened market sensitivity to see, what is the FOMC thinking? Are they going to hike interest rates in the US to neutral levels? Are they going to hike them even more than? It's really just the degree that they're going to be raised, because that really indicates the degree we're probably going to see some turnaround out of emerging market economies, and that those investment outflows obviously then resulting in the weakness of those EMs currencies.
But then what does all of this mean for us? What does it mean for the rand? What does it mean for South Africa? You know, should people be panicking? I mean, we're still recovering from the GDP numbers. How should we be feeling now?
Look, I certainly think we shouldn't panic, but the key point really is that we are an emerging market economy. At some point, we are going to have stronger or weaker currencies, depending on what's happening globally, irrespective of what we're doing in South Africa. Why we shouldn't panic is that the rand has started off from a stronger point when it's had this recent weakness than it would have had perhaps if we were in November last year. So remember, just before the ANC elective conference, there was substantial currency weakness that turned around dramatically with the Ramaphosa presidency when he became president. And of course, the rand at 11.50 instead of obviously closer to 14. And, you know, if we had been starting off the rand at 14.57 when we were, you know, in November in that weak point, and now we had that additional 2 rand weakness we've been talking about, we'll be at 16.60, which is close to 17 rand to the dollar. So things are actually much better than they were last year. The point really I think that we want to make is that it's unavoidable, currency volatility and the market movements, particularly in the middle two quarters of this year. And the sell in May and go away a date really played out this year. You know, that really means that the global financial markets see most of the wealth held in the Northern Hemisphere. As we go into that summer period, a lot of market players withdraw positions, riskier positions. We get this weakness at a time when you have this elevation, this perceived elevation of concerns about the US rate hike trajectory, that'll be escalated as well from a risk perspective. So this probably was always going to happen. We're just in a better place to absorb it. Looking forwards now, we expect that we're not going to see any further interest rate cuts in the South African economy in this current risk-off period. It doesn't mean that it'll last forever. Indeed, the foreign players tend to come back in the markets in September, October. And with that churn, then comes can actually result afterwards in greater currency stability in the last couple of months of the year. And at that point, perhaps we might see the Reserve Bank thinking a bit more lenient again about monetary policy, but certainly with all the other emerging market economies looking for flat to higher interest rates, very unlikely we're going to see a rate cut. And of course, what does it mean for South Africa itself? Well, you know, we obviously saw that poor GDP print, and you know, an interest rate cut won't necessarily solve it. But I think maybe, you know, let's unpack the GDP and see what it means.
So you mentioned the GDP, so can you unpack this GDP for us?
Certainly. You know, it becomes quite important because we were obviously looking at a expectation of high economic growth this year compared to last, and we still are looking for it. But I think the point really is that a lot of people maybe thought it would start very, very early. Of course, it wasn't going to. We could already have seen that from the industrial production retail sales figures that contracted. And we talked about that a couple of months ago. But I think certainly the big risk is that people thought that the confidence that came through substantially in the business and consumer sector in the first quarter of this year would immediately result in a massive increase in GDP growth. And that doesn't happen. That takes about two quarters. So if you have a first quarter rise in business confidence, you're really only going to start seeing a pickup in fixed investment levels and economic growth towards the third or fourth quarter of this year. And that's what I mean about the slow pickup in economic growth. If you have a look at why indeed was the Q1 figure so poor perhaps in the first quarter of this year, you might as well look back 6 months instead. And of course, in June last year, you know, the second and third quarters of last year showed exceptionally very, very, very low business confidence levels at such weak points that they actually were close to historic lows. Now, you were never going to get an amazing first quarter this year as a consequence of that six-month lag. Secondly, of course, we had quite good growth in the economy in the fourth quarter of last year because we recovered from the drought and we saw higher commodity prices come through as well. That caused a strong base effect, which pushed up the base in the fourth quarter, and then therefore the first quarter calculated against that came down quite substantially. If we had to, in other words, calculate GDP growth from the third quarter to the first quarter of this year, we actually would have got an outcome of essentially zero. So that massive, you know, jump up in growth in the fourth quarter obviously had a subduing base effect as well. But of course, lastly as well, you know, it's still very early days, and we'd obviously wait to see all these factors feed through into the economy. We're looking for GDP growth of close to 2%. But all that bringing it back to the currency, to our scenarios in particular, you know, we're looking at about a 40% probability weighting of an expected case scenario this year where we don't fall into a global financial crisis and see substantially greater risk off. We might have to reweight that down. We might have to obviously have a greater probability of more financial market turmoil and weakness if the United States communicates to us this week or at any of its subsequent FOMC meetings, they're going to be hiking interest rates faster. So that's quite important. Those are the global risks that will impact our currency. Obviously included in there will be geopolitical risks, trade wars, other wars as well. Domestically, of course, the risks we've talked about now, the economic growth, it's unlikely to come through as a contraction. The second quarter, we're not expecting a recession. So we don't think from that perspective it's going to increase our weighting to the down case. But certainly, you know, from a fiscal consolidation point of view, it hasn't been a particularly good outcome. I think we must just look forward to the rest of the year, because, you know, we are still working out a lot of the kinks in the system that came through from last year, and look forward to the rest of the year and see this uplift in economic growth coming through. South Africa certainly finds itself in a stronger position now since the Ramaphosa presidency in order to take on global market recalibration of higher United States interest rates. In the absence of this, we probably would be at risk of targeting a rand closer to 17 rand to the US dollar. And of course, that would have had catastrophic effects on our interest rates and inflation rates, in turn placing pressure on the economic growth in the economy. And that, of course, would have added to the risk for credit rating downgrades. Instead, with a stronger position that we find ourselves in following the substantial improvement in the currency and financial markets at the start of the year with the Cyril Ramaphosa presidency. We're starting on a much stronger base, a much stronger level, in order to be able to weather these winds in the year ahead. And of course, next year as well, still likely to see US interest rate hikes coming through in the year after. And I think with things only getting better in South Africa as economic growth gradually but gently lifts towards the end of this year and next year, we should be able to have an increased degree of robustness to weather these storms.
Thank you so much for your insights, Annabelle, and thank you for tuning into this podcast brought to you by Investec. For more of our podcasts and economic commentary by Annabelle Bishop, visit our website at www.investec.com.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.